All right, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we're going to look there at verse number... let's begin reading back in verse number 9. Okay, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. The Bible says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's a wonderful promise in this verse and in the verses we'll see. And this is really what we can build our whole faith upon as Bible-believing Christians. You know, we believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. We believe that He existed eternally past. You know, Jesus just didn't come into being 2,000 years ago. That wasn't the birth of God's Son in the sense of that's where He first came about. Jesus always was. We learn from the Bible, He always was. He was there at creation. He had a part in the creation of this world. So Jesus always has been with God the Father. God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit. And we believe He was there and so on. And man sinned, didn't we? Many of you would know the story of the Garden of Eden, how God created Adam and Eve. But Eve was tempted by a serpent there in the garden and she sinned. She ate of the forbidden fruit. She ate the fruit from the one tree in the whole garden where said, "Don't touch that one. I don't want you to eat that fruit." And they disobeyed God. They ate the fruit that God didn't want them to, and it plunged the whole human race really into sin. That now we're all born with a sin nature, and it's that sin that separates us from God. It's that sin that would keep us from going to heaven. Sometimes people would like to think, well, you know, God loves everybody, and so we'll all just go to heaven. And that seems like a nice thought, because I would want everybody to go to heaven. And the truth is that God wants everyone to be able to go to heaven. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to be forgiven of our sins. Problem is that sin nature separates us from God. And the Bible teaches us that it's really our sin that condemns us, makes us guilty. And if you and I got what I deserved, I wouldn't get to go to heaven. I would die and I would go to hell. Now, when I think, oh, I shouldn't say that's a bad word. Well, hell is not just some cuss word that people say when they're angry. It's a real place. And I could say I wish it wasn't true. I wish it wasn't in the Bible. But Jesus taught us really even more about, told us more of a description of hell even than He probably did about heaven in the Bible. And I believe that heaven and hell are real places. They're not just a fairy tale or, you know, figment of somebody's, you know, wild imagination. I believe they're real places. Now, when we die upon this earth, truth is we all live somewhere for eternity. We're either going to go to heaven or we're going to go to hell. We're going to be either with Christ and with God for all eternity, or we'll be separated from Him forever. And God wants everybody to be saved. God's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire is that you, me, everyone would come to a place where we understand we're sinners, we're lost, we're guilty, and we need Christ in our life. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, down to earth 2,000 years ago. And most of you would know the story, but it was a miracle birth. He was born of a virgin, meaning that He didn't have an earthly father in the sense of someone that He was, you know, conceived by. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says. So He was no just ordinary child, no ordinary baby. He wasn't my son that would be born with a sin nature like their daddy. He was the Son of God. Jesus Christ was and He is the Son of God, and He came down to earth and lived a perfect life, a sinless life. No man could do that, only the Son of God. And then, of course, we know that He went to the cross of Calvary. He was crucified there for you and for me. He willingly gave His life on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could be saved, so we could have eternal life and we could go to heaven. Can I tell you something? That's the best truth you'll ever hear in your life. That God would love you and me so much that He would give His Son to die on the cross for us so we could have salvation. That's amazing. You know what? I have three sons and four daughters. And I love them very much. Here's my oldest daughter, Ashley. You know what? I wouldn't want to give her for anything. I love Ashley Johnston so much. I couldn't imagine, you know, I couldn't imagine Barry being, you know, on death row and, you know, he committed some big crime and he was going to be punished for that crime. And, you know, he was going to go to jail for life, or maybe he was in a place where there's a death penalty. And, you know, he was going to get the death penalty for some crime. And then for me to say, you know what, Judge, I love Barry so much.
that you can take my son or you can take my daughter and let them die in his place, and Barry could just go free. He can be set free. I couldn't imagine giving my son or daughter to let somebody else who was a criminal, and he's not, I'm using him, I don't think he is, let somebody else that had committed some horrible crime to go free, and yet my son or daughter die in their place. Wouldn't that be incredible love? And that's what God did for us. The Father gave his son to die for you and me when we deserved to die.
When we deserved the punishment of our sin. That's great love. And he died for us so that you could be saved. If you would come to him and put your faith in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a personal savior, he will forgive you of your sin and he'll save you and he'll give you eternal life. Again, Romans 10 there, let's read it again. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart. What I just told you, you've got to believe that in your heart to be saved. It can't just be, well, it sounds good. No, you've got to truly be willing to say, I'll believe that with all of my heart. There's a God in heaven that says, I'm willing to save you if you'll believe the truth. And if you'll believe on God's Son, Jesus Christ, he says, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, not only did Christ die on the cross, but we know 3 days later he rose from the grave. He was victorious over death and so on and sin, and we can be too. We can have eternal life. It says in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You understand what he's saying there in those verses? He was dealing with that a group of people at the time where there was going to be Jews and Greeks. He said, you know, there's no difference. It's not just, well, the Jews, they're God's people. They're the Hebrew people. It's the nation of Israel. And so it's only for them to be saved. No, it's for anyone that will believe on God's Son, Jesus Christ. He says, the Lord's not going to be a respecter of persons. Anyone that will call upon Jesus Christ and trust him and believe in him as the Son of God and believe what he did for them on the cross of Calvary, they can be saved. They can have eternal life. You know what that means? If you're a Jew here today, or if you're Greek, or if you're Italian, or Chinese, or if you're Iranian, or if you're Polish, or if you're Italian, or if you're German, or if you're Russian, or if you're Korean, or if you're Filipino, or if you're Brazilian, or if you're Ecuadorian, if you're Mexican, or if you're from Jamaican, or you're whatever you are. Hey, the Lord is willing to save if you'll call upon him and trust him as your Savior. What a great God. What a loving Savior. Notice this though. That's the most important truth I could ever share with you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know him. And I hope you'd be willing to maybe talk to me later and share with me that you need to understand what we just said and you need to be saved and you want Christ in your life, because that's the best decision you could ever make. But for the message this morning, I want to look on to verse 14. We just read in verse 13 a great promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? In other words, you can't call on the Lord as your Savior if you've not believed on him, right? You have to believe in your heart that he is the Savior. He's the Son of God. And then you can call on him and trust him personally to be your Savior. And then it says, and how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? That makes sense, right? Well, how can I believe in Jesus Christ if I've never heard about Jesus Christ? How will I believe on Jesus Christ if I've not heard that truth? The gospel of Christ, we call it. How can I believe on that if I've not heard it, if I don't understand it, if I don't know what it is? And then he says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, somebody to tell them. All of us could be little preachers. We could all tell somebody else the truth. We could share with somebody else the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the point of it. We're all to be one-on-one preachers evangelizing, telling others about Christ. And verse 15 says this, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, notice this, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The gospel is good tidings, isn't it? good news. To anyone that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, to hear that good news, to hear the truth, to hear the gospel, that's good news. That's glad tidings that we can bring to them. That's the gospel of peace. You know, Romans 5 and verse 1 tells us how we can be justified with God and we can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that's good peace. That's good tidings. That is the gospel of peace. Because we who are separated from God because of sin, there can be peace between us and God. We can have that relationship with God that He wants through the gospel, through trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior. He said in that verse, how beautiful are the feet of them. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. In other words, that will share the gospel with others. Back in Isaiah 52, verse 7, let me read you this one verse. It says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. You know what? God wants us to be ones that would bring the gospel to others. God wants our feet to be in action. God wants our feet to be moving. God wants our feet to be busy getting up and taking the gospel to somebody else. Isn't it wonderful good news to know that Christ died on the cross for us and paid the penalty for our sins so we could be saved? And if you know that truth and if you believed on that truth and trusted Christ as your Savior, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to know that I'm going to heaven, I have eternal life, and nobody can ever take that away from me. But those verses challenge us that we are to be ones who get up with our feet and we put on our running shoes and we go and tell other people about Christ. That's the title of the message this morning. Put on your running shoes. Put on your running shoes. You know what? God wants our feet to be busy with our running shoes on, going and telling somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to know it. It's wonderful to be saved. But you know what? We might have a neighbor that needs to know about Christ. We might have a co-worker that needs to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. We might have other people in our town that need to know about Jesus Christ. And they're only going to hear if somebody will go and tell them. They can only believe if they hear. They can only call if they believe. So somebody needs to, in the process of that, go and tell them. We need to put on our running shoes, don't we? Put on our running shoes. Have times with running shoes on because I need to go share the gospel. Have our running shoes on to go share with somebody else the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn back with me to the book of Esther, if you can find it in the Old Testament. The book of Esther, chapter number 9. Book of Esther, chapter 9. It'll be just a little bit, if you're right in the middle of your Bible, in the book of Psalms probably, back before that, just a little bit before the book of Job. You'll find a little small book there called Esther. Of course, it's named after Queen Esther in the Bible, somebody that God greatly used to help save her people, to save the Jewish people at a time when someone wanted to get rid of them. Look at Esther chapter 9 and verse number 13. Esther chapter 9 and verse 13. It says there, then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. And the king commanded it so to be done. And the decree was given at Shushan. And they hanged Haman's 10 sons. A decree had been made. First off, Haman was somebody who was plotting and working to rid the Jews. He hated them, wanted to be rid of them out of the kingdom. Esther, God brought her providentially and amazingly to help save the Jewish people. Haman wanted to destroy them, but God stepped in and worked in the circumstances in an amazing way and used Esther. And then what was to be thought upon the Jews, Esther said, let it be brought upon the others. Go back to chapter number 8. Go back to chapter number 8. Esther chapter 8. And look there at verse number 13. Esther chapter 8 and verse number 13. It says, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people. and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. And the decree was given at Shushan, the palace. We're backing up a little bit in that story, because I want you to see in that verse, as part of the saving of the Jews, and when Haman wanted them all to be killed and be spoiled and gotten rid of, God worked it out that their salvation would happen. They would be saved from that. And a decree, new decree was made by the king that send out word, and all the Jews are going to be allowed and able to defend themselves and protect themselves that day. So what they did to get this message out that they could be saved and so on, and there wasn't this judgment upon them really, and verdict of put everyone to death that Haman wanted. They were going to be rescued. They were going to be saved. So some posts were sent out. Like postal workers. Like the Pony Express type thing. They were going to send them out. You send out the posts. You send out the postal workers. And you let them get that message to everybody they can. You get out the tidings, the good news to everybody you can, that they can be saved on that day. The verdict of death is not upon them anymore. Notice what it said about those postmen. Those postal workers there, if you will, in verse 14. So the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. So it was the king's commandment now that was urging them, hey, postmen, hey, postal workers, you hasten. You go as quickly as you can. We don't want any of their lives to be lost. You hasten. You go as far as you can. You go as fast as you can. And you take this decree from the king. You take this message from the king. And you give it to everybody as you can. As quickly as you can. As far as you can. To everybody that you can. Boy, doesn't that remind you of something? We have been given a very important message from our king. From the King of Heaven. We have the decree. We have a message in this book that can save people. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ, that good tidings, that good news. And the king has commanded us, I want you to take it to everybody you can. And don't just take it, but go with haste and go as far as you can. And go to everybody you can, everywhere that you can. And take them that message so that they can be saved. You know, that story that takes place there in the book of Esther is a wonderful picture and reminder of what Christ has given us to do and the job that God has given us to do. When Jesus Christ, after he rose again, he ascended to heaven. The book of John 14 tells us he's gone to heaven to prepare a place for all those that will trust in him as their Savior. But he left his disciples with a job to do. When he went away, he said that power was going to come upon them and that they were to be witnesses of him unto Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what? That's a commandment that God has given to us as his disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ. Now that you've received the message, now that you know the message of salvation, hey, take it everywhere you can. Put on your running shoes. Put on your running shoes and go with haste. Go quickly. Don't let your neighbor die when they could be saved. You know, don't let that co-worker die when they could be saved. Don't let the people of your town die when they could be saved. They need the message. They need the gospel. They need the truth of Jesus Christ, because the truth can make a great difference. It can mean to them their salvation. Their salvation. Do you believe this morning that you're saved? I mean, do you really believe that you've been saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven? Do you believe that you have eternal life? It's because somebody gave you the message. Somebody shared with you the truth. Somebody influenced you with the gospel. God wants us to put on our running shoes and make haste to tell everybody we can that there's a message from the king. There's a message from the king that will bring them salvation. The postal workers, they carried the message of the king across the country with haste and urgency and great seriousness, because they were carrying a message for the king. It was a message that would bring life to those that were condemned to death. Our king, the Lord Jesus Christ, has a letter, God's word, that he wants us to carry to every person. Take the letter. Take the letter. This is the letter from the king that can bring to everyone this news that you can have salvation. You can be saved. We need to carry it to every person. The message of that important letter, the gospel, is what can bring life eternal to those who are condemned to death. That was the situation in the time there in the book of Esther. And that's really the situation of people today. That the world sits under the condemnation of death. The judgment of sin is upon all men. But there's a God in heaven that loves us. There's a Son, Jesus Christ, that gave His life for us. And He says, I've got a message I want you to share with everybody you can. Put on your running shoes. Put on your running shoes. Don't just stay there in your slippers. Don't just stay there at home with your slippers and I feel all good there. No, He says, put on your running shoes. It's time for running shoes. And make haste and tell everybody the gospel. Take that letter. Take the word of God. Take the gospel to people so that they can be saved. Oh, how we need to do that. Put on our running shoes. Put on our running shoes. And take the world the message. In Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 30. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 30, the Bible tells us this, and some of you would know this story. There was a man named Philip that loved the Lord, that loved God, believed in God. And the Spirit of God, if you're saved, you understand that. If not saved, you wouldn't. But the Spirit of God impressed it upon his heart. I want you to go a certain way. I want you to go here. And God had a divine appointment set up that there was somebody that he was to go and speak to, somebody he needed to talk to. And it says in Acts 8 and verse number 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? There was a man, an Ethiopian man, the Bible tells us in the full story that he was reading the Bible and he wanted to understand what it was he was reading. And so God sent Philip to go that way because he wanted him to cross paths with that Ethiopian man. And when Philip saw him, the Bible says he ran to him. He had his running shoes on and he ran to that man to talk to him and to help him, if we know the story. He helped him to understand that message that he was reading, and he helped that Ethiopian man to get saved. You know what? When the Spirit of God pricks our heart and says, you need to go talk to someone. You need to not be afraid. You need to speak to your neighbor about the Lord Jesus Christ. Or you need to speak to your cousin. Or you need to speak to your aunt and uncle. Or you need to try to speak to your mom. You need to try to speak to that co-worker. You need to try to speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Spirit of God pricking your heart. And you need to go, put on your running shoes, and go and tell them. Try to share with them the good news. Share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It can save their life. It can save their life. You know what? A person can say, I don't want to listen to that. I don't want the letter. I don't want that. That's up to them. But our job is to put on our running shoes and give them the message. There's a decree from the king. There's a letter from the king. There's a message that needs to be taken with haste. And postal workers, let's put on our running shoes and take them. The message of Jesus Christ. Put on your running shoes. Put on your running shoes. In the book of Ephesians 6 and verse number 15. Let me read you this one verse. Ephesians 6, 15. It talks about the armor that we need as Christians to wear as soldiers of Christ, but in verse 15 of that it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Anytime you hear someone preach a message from that passage of scripture, they always tend to explain that verse in the sense of, we need our running shoes on, don't we? We need the shoes on that are willing to go and take the gospel, that message of peace, to other people. We need to be ones that care about the souls of others. We need to be ones that have our shoes on and will go with the gospel to give it to other people. I ask you this morning, do you have your running shoes on? Do you have your running shoes on? Christians, let's wear our running shoes and let's take to others the letter from God. Let's take to others the gospel of Jesus Christ. I understand that some may not want to hear the good news. No, the Bible gives us instances and tells us what to do with that. Matthew 10, Mark 6, Luke 9, Acts 13, and probably other places. But in some of those verses there, the Bible gives reference to what happened when they did have their running shoes on and they did go to a town or they did go to some people and tried to take them the letter and take to them the truth and share with them the gospel. And there was some in those places that, oh, I don't want to hear that. I just don't believe that. That may be good for you, but I don't believe that. It's not good for me. And Paul's instruction to them and God's instruction to them in each of those verses, in some cases Jesus' instruction was them to, was this, that just stomp your running shoes off. Just stomp your running shoes off. You know, maybe your shoes got a little dusty in that town, or maybe it didn't go so well when you took the message to that person. Just stomp your running shoes off and go to somebody else. Go to somebody else. That cousin didn't want to hear it, okay, maybe go run and try to tell another cousin. That neighbor didn't like it, okay, maybe go and run and try to tell another neighbor. That co-worker wasn't ready to receive it right now, okay, maybe tell another one. Just stomp your running shoes off, but keep them on and go tell somebody else. Go tell somebody else. Do you have your running shoes on? Do you have your running shoes on, Christian? We need to have our running shoes on, and we need to take the letter, we need to take the gospel, and we need to share it with others. I want you all to be able to go away this morning remembering, thinking, I'm to be a mailman for Christ. I'm to be a postal worker for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to be more than just a new little mailbox system where we can just stop there. It's going to be, I mean, to every house and to every person, and we're going to keep that mail delivery going, and we're going to keep it to every person in every town. In every workplace, to the ends of the earth. God says, you're all postal workers. Keep your running. No, I've never seen we'd have a mail lady. I've never seen her out there delivering the mail in high heel shoes. No. She's going to do a lot of work, a lot of walking. A lot of running. More walking, probably. You know what? She's got running shoes on. Because that's what's good for running. That's what's good for getting out the deliveries. Hey, Christians, we need our running shoes on. Because there's to be an urgency to it. There's to be a haste to it. A moving quickly. There's to be a fervency that I've got to take the letter. I've got to deliver that letter to as many mailboxes as I can. I've got to deliver that message to as many people as I can. I've got to tell everybody I can the gospel of Christ. Because the gospel of Christ can bring life, eternal life, everlasting life to those who are under the condemnation of sin and death. Do you have your running shoes on, Christian? Do you have your running shoes on? Let's make sure we keep them on. And we're running and making haste to share the gospel with people. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together.